Now we're doing microscopy, but there's actually two microscopy lab meetings. The other one is called cells. And traditionally we did them back to back. Microscopes 1 week, cells the next. This time we switched the order, which is why we're doing microscopes today, not osmosis. And that was why there was a mistake on the due date. Now, all of you should have learned of that mistake by now because you're required to check the announcements every day. But if any of you didn't do the microscopes pre-lab, which is the proper one to have done by midnight last night, since it's my mistake, I'm going to still allow you to do it, but only until tonight. Don't forget about that. Anyway, we're doing microscopy today, then we'll do osmosis, and then we'll do cells. And the reason I mentioned microscopy and cells is that they're really the same setup. You'll have the same stuff sitting out to use for both. But in terms of today's progress, I really only need you to get through. Notice they're lumped together starting at 72. Microscopes and cells. I want you to get up to, or through page 80. All right, that's really what you need to do by today, because this one, this microscopy meeting, is really just about getting used to properly using the microscope, which is not as easy as just putting your eyes up to it. There's a pretty good chance that everyone here sucks at microscopy because you haven't done it very much. You have to get used to it in order to get good results. Those nice pictures in textbooks don't just happen. It's people knowing how to properly use a microscope, preparing it beforehand, which we're not doing in this course, but also using the microscope properly. And so that's why you're doing the stuff you're doing for today's period, just to get used to using it properly. In 2 weeks, then, we'll use it for other purposes. But I want to tell you how to properly use it and to tell you what the proper names of the various parts of the scope are. Everyone's microscope, and the reason every person has its own scope is because part of what I'm going to tell you is how to personalize it for your body. That's part of properly using a scope, setting it up for you personally. But anyway, these scopes that you have are, of course, microscopes, but more specifically, they are examples of light microscopes. Not all microscopes are light microscopes. There are electron microscopes as well. Well, light microscopes use humanly visible light that's passed through the specimen, which is the thing you're trying to get a better look at, and then that light eventually reaches your eyes. Electron microscopes use beams of electrons, not light. And so you can't really see anything until that's projected onto a monitor. We don't use an electron microscope in here. But they get much, much greater magnification than a light microscope. So that's one real basic thing. It's a light microscope. More specific than that, it is a slide microscope. Not all light microscopes are slide microscopes. A slide microscope is designed to be used to view only specimens on slides. You use glass slides. You don't just put your finger under these lenses and look at them. You can do that with a dissecting scope, which are over here in this third cabinet. And you should play around with these either today or in cells when we also are doing microscopy. One of the 2 weeks, play around with them. These aren't slide microscopes, but they're light microscopes. They are not as high magnification. You don't use slides. You can put anything you want under there, including your fingers or a petri dish, whatever. So they're pretty. It's pretty cool to get a close look at your fingers, by the way. Anyway, these are slide scopes that we're working with. And even more specific than that, we can say that this is a compound microscope. Now, compound does not mean just that it has two lenses. That is not giving me enough information. For instance, it's not compound because there are two lenses that you look through. The fact that you look through two lenses means it's a binocular scope. That's not what compound means. A compound scope has two magnifications that are performed in sequence. And that's because in a compound scope, light passes through one lens first, which magnifies the image a certain amount. And then that already magnified image passes through, or the light from that image passes through a second lens, magnifying it again before it reaches your eye. So a compound scope has two different categories of lenses. What are the categories? What are the names of the lenses? Ocular lenses and objective lenses. But I just mentioned them in the reverse order compared to the direction in which light travels through them. The objective lens is called that because it is the lens that's closest to the object you're trying to magnify, which is the thing on the slide. So the simplest... Well, let me just continue with the categories. That's the objective lens. These silver-barreled ones are objective lenses. The ocular lens is so named because ocular means of the eye. So the ocular lens is what you put your eye actually up to. It's the second lens, though, through which light travels. Light travels through the objective lens first, gets magnified, then through the ocular lens, gets magnified again, and then into your eyes. And therefore, the simplest possible compound scope would have one objective lens and one ocular lens. It's still compound because it has each of those two lenses and the light goes through it one after the other. Well, this is more complex. This model, well, mine's a slightly different model, but it looks like yours has three different objective lenses, notice. Three silver-barreled lenses that you can choose from. And they're all housed on this swiveling device with the black knurls on it so that you can easily turn that. Go ahead and turn them to see what I'm talking about. What is the name for that swivel that these objective lenses are mounted on? The what? It's the nose piece. Yes. So you swivel the nose piece to choose an objective lens. Notice that the objective lenses are different lengths. This corresponds to the fact that different objective lenses, when there is a choice, have different magnifications associated with them. And the magnification due to just that lens itself is stamped on the side of each objective as some number X. So, for instance, the red ringed one, which is the shortest one, is stamped 4x. That means just that lens by itself makes the image look four times bigger than it actually is. It's four times magnification. But it doesn't hit your eye yet because that already four times magnified image then goes through an ocular lens and it has its own magnification depending on the model. In yours, the ocular lenses have 10x as their magnification. The overall magnification, which is how big it looks to you compared to how big it really is the mathematical product of those two numbers. So total magnification equals ocular magnification objective magnification times ocular magnification. Okay? You don't change the magnification of the oculars, you're stuck with it on this model. It's always going to be 10. But you can choose the objective magnification and therefore you can choose the total magnification. Okay. The lamp which supplies the light for this light microscope, is in the base here, and it won't turn on unless you have it plugged in, for one thing, but also you have to turn on the green switch on the side, or it might be green on yours, it's a switch. The toggle switch is just a power switch, but you still might not see the light go on because you could have the dimmer all the way down. And the dimmer is a horizontal knob on the left side, I think it's left, it is on this model. And play around with that and notice that you can turn up the intensity or turn down the intensity of the light. Okay, now that dimmer is important because it's often forgotten. So one thing that you should play around today when you get used to these is the intensity level. Beginners make the common mistake of thinking more light is better always. So they just max out the dimmer switch, but too much light is bad. It will wash the image out. The reason that there is a dimmer there is because different objectives pass different amounts of light. If you use a higher magnification objective, it's not going to be as bright. So that's when it's appropriate to turn it up. But when you're looking at these slides, play around with the dimmer while you're looking, and you'll see how the quality gets better at a certain intensity, not necessarily brightest. Well, if all you want to do is adjust the brightness, then that is what you would do. You would use the dimmer. But it's not the only thing that affects the apparent brightness of the image to you. And that's because just below this platform that we have here, there's another black ringed knurled ring. And you can see that I'm twisting that. You can twist it on yours. That controls an opening that goes by multiple names. You can call it the aperture or the diaphragm or the iris. It's just like the iris of your eyeball, which will close down, make your pupil smaller, or open up, make your pupil bigger. Well, when it's opened up, it's going to seem brighter to you. So that's another way in which the apparent brightness can be adjusted, but it's going to affect more than just the brightness if you open the diaphragm up. That's why I say if all you really want to do is adjust the brightness, use the dimmer. The diaphragm, closing it down or opening it up, also affects the depth of field, how many things are appearing in focus at once. And you can play around with that today. Okay, I said platform earlier, which is the black thing that on which the slide rests, but it's not properly called the platform. What's its real name? The stage, yes. So the stage supports the slide, and you don't have a slide on it yet, but on top of that stage is a metal apparatus that includes a spring clamp. Open up the clamp, you see how it works. That whole metal piece, which is not the stage but rests on the stage, is what you use to load a slide. And you should not load a slide paying attention to whether it's centered over the light. That does not matter at all. You always load a slide the same way, which is the only way it properly goes into the springed clamp, regardless of where it's positioned. The reason you don't care where it's positioned is because once you have it in the clamp, you can use this set of concentric knobs hanging down from the right below the stage to move that clamp and therefore move the slide. So that's how you get it, once it's clamped in, that's how you get the slide centered over the light. That whole apparatus, the clamp, the silver metal piece, and these knobs that control it are called the mechanical stage because they move. And I said these knobs are concentric, meaning they share a center. But it's two separate knobs. And play around with them, and you'll notice that one of them, they control the mechanical stage much like the knobs of an Etch-a-Sketch. One of them moves the mechanical stage closer to or farther away from you. The other one moves them right or left. And so you can get any position by using some combination of the two knobs. Okay. Back to these objective lenses. You have a choice, and therefore on this scope you have a choice of total magnification. But whenever you start a new slide, you should always start with the objective that is shortest, which is the lowest power, the lowest magnification objective. You should always start a new slide with that lowest powered objective, which is why it gets its a special name. What is, in, for this one it's 4x, it would depend on the model, but for this one it's the 4x. On any given scope though, what do we call the lowest powered objective? The scanning lens, exactly. And the reason it's called that is because it has the widest view. You have an entire slide that you're looking at. You're not ever looking at the entire slide through the scope. You know, the stuff you're looking at is really appears in the middle somewhere. And when you look through these scopes, if you turn it on, even though there's not a slide in it, look through your oculars right now, you'll see that what you're looking at is a circle. So the view that you see through a scope, in all cases, is circular. That circle is called the field of view. But even though that circle always looks the same size to your eyes, it really is a different size. It's a different fraction of the overall size of the slide, depending on what the magnification is. If you're at low magnification, you're in a sense zoomed out, and you're seeing a greater area of the slide. That's why it's called the scanning lens. Because being zoomed out means you see a big area and you can scan the slide by moving your mechanical stage until you find something interesting, and then you can take a closer look. All right? That's one reason why you always start with the scanning lens for a new slide. Another reason, though, is that it's shortest and therefore gives you maximum room to put the slide in without harming anything. And there is a third reason, which is probably the most important reason. And that is that the scanning lens, compared to the other lenses, other objectives, is by far the easiest objective lens to focus. I'll talk about focusing in a second, but the higher the magnification, the harder it will be to focus. And you therefore want to start with the easiest to focus and then tweak the focus from there. This brings up a couple definitions. Actually, I'll use this. Someone already drew this picture. I'll use it. This is the barrel of an objective lens. This is the edge of a slide. So this is where you're, or this is the slide, I should say. This is the stage. That red arrow indicates the distance between the lens, the objective lens, and the actual slide, or the specimen that you're looking at. Whatever that distance is, that's called the working distance. And since the scanning lens is the shortest, you're going to have the greatest working distance. That's what I was talking about before, by ease of putting the slide in. But also, when I say that the objective lens is easiest to focus, that's because of something called depth of focus. Now, there is really only one point that is truly in focus, and that's what you use focus knobs to get at. But the way our eyes work, we can't tell if it's out of focus, unless it's a certain degree out of focus. So there is one specific distance that is the correct distance between the lens and the slide for it to truly be in mathematical focus. But if it's a little higher or a little lower, anywhere within this range, it will still look in focus to our eyes. Only if you get outside of that range will it look unfocused. Okay? That range is called the depth of focus. And the depth of focus for the lowest objective, lowest powered objective, is much bigger. And therefore, it's easier to get within that range. That's why it's easy to focus. When you go up to higher level objectives, the depth of focus gets smaller and smaller. In fact, it can be so small that it's not even as thick as one cell, which is why at high power, you can't even focus on the entire depth of the cell. You'll look at one slice of it, and if you change the focus, you can go to different depths of that same cell. That's much harder to get that focus, which is why you don't start with that. Not only does the depth of focus decrease when the magnification goes up, but the diameter of the field of view also decreases. So this small circle is what you would see. It would look the same size to your eye, but it would really be, in reality, a much smaller circle. The field of view diameter goes down as magnification goes up. All right, now let's talk about focusing and using this thing properly. To focus the image, really what you're doing is getting that distance between the lens and the specimen at exactly the right distance, or within the range that our eye can't tell the difference on. But the way that you do this with the scope is to raise or lower the stage. And that's why the stage has focusing knobs controlling it, and there are redundant pairs. So either side, they're the same thing on either side, but notice that each pair is also a concentric pair of knobs, a big ring and a small ring. Well, start twisting the big ring and just look at the stage, and you can see that it's obviously going up and down. That's how you focus a scope. You get the stage to the proper position so that the slide is the right distance from the lens to be in focus. The smaller knob is called the fine focus. The bigger knob is the coarse focus. Well, the fine focus is still moving the stage. It's just harder to tell it's moving because it's moving it very little. It's a very fine adjustment. Okay? All right, now let me go through some steps to do this properly. Say that you have a slide. Well, no, actually, I want to say something else before we even get to a slide. A compound scope has to have at least one ocular. This one has two because it's a binocular scope or stereo optic. Either name can be used. It's an advantage because if you use two eyes and not just one, then you get depth perception. If you lose vision in one eye, you have trouble judging how far something is from you, because your brain allows you to make that calculation by comparing the difference in the two eyes and what they're seeing. So it's much harder to catch something that someone throws at you if you have one eye closed, because you don't have that depth perception. Similarly with a microscope. So I mention this because to use both lenses takes proper setup, and a lot of students don't want to bother doing that, so I see all the time people just closing one eye, which loses all the benefit of having a binocular scope. So this is part of the personalization to your body. Grab the oculars and notice that you can pull them apart and push them together. That's one way that you can adjust this for your body. And that's because not all humans are the same when it comes to what is called the interpupillary distance. That simply means the distance between your two pupils. It's not constant among humans. Some have wider, some have narrower. And even without a slide on there, you can tell that you're making this correct adjustment, because if you have the interpupillary distance set correctly and you look through them with both eyes open, you should see just one circle, not two. If you're seeing two circles, then you should adjust the distance between the oculars until it looks like one circle to you. All right? So always do that. I mean, do that one time. This is why you don't share scopes, though, because your interpupillary distance is yours. You don't have to set it every slide, though. You just set it once before you even get to the first slide. Okay. Now, back to the steps. Let's say you've picked out a slide. Even before you load it into the clamp of the mechanical stage, you should do something first. And that is to use the coarse focus knob on either side and bring the stage all the way down until it stops. Now, there's two reasons for doing that, one of which is much less important than the other. The less important reason is that that gives you as much room as possible to get the slide in there safely. There's a much more important reason, though, and that's because the focus is going to be some vertical position of this stage. You don't know where until you look through it. Well, if you put a slide on there with the stage wherever the last person left it, chances are it's not going to be in perfect focus, right? But you don't know whether it's out of focus because it's too high or out of focus because it's too low. And if it's already too high and you try to bring it up higher to get it in focus, you're just making it worse and worse, and it will never come into focus. On the other hand, if you start at the bottom, you know that it's going to be out of focus to begin with, but you also know that it's out of focus because it's too low. And therefore, continuing to bring up the stage by using the coarse focus while looking through it should eventually make something pop into focus. That's the important reason for starting at the bottom. Every time you do a slide, change a slide, put it down and start over. Because slides are different. Where the specimen is at a different vertical level within that glass. Okay? So, you have the light turned on, just medium dimness to begin with. You have the stage all the way down till it stops. You put the slide in properly, and the only way it will fit into the clamp. And then without even looking through the scope, you use the mechanical stage knobs to just roughly center the slide on the beam of light. Okay, now you put your eyes up to the oculars, but you close your left eye and this is assuming you've already adjusted the interpupillary distance, which I said you should do before you have the slide in there. But when you're looking through them the first time, you close the left eye and look just through the right eye. I mean, look with the right eye through the right lens. Now, it's going to be out of focus because you have the stage all the way down. But look, just use that right eye at first. And then while you continue to look through it, use the coarse focus knob. And remember, you're on the scanning lens. You always start on the scanning lens, so the red one. Use the coarse focus and gradually turn it, bringing the slide up, but looking through it continuously with your right eye. It'll remain out of focus sometimes longer than you think it should be. But as long as you have it centered, something eventually should pop into view when you keep bringing this coarse focus knob. Bring the stage up using the coarse focus knob. Okay, still looking through with only your right eye. Use that coarse focus knob back and forth until it's as good as it can be with just that knob. Then switch to the fine focus knob, still looking through just the right eye, and tweak it until it's as good as you can get it. Then take your hands off the focus knobs and keep them off the focus knobs because you just carefully focused it for your right eye. Now, close your right eye, open your left eye, and look through just the left lens, and chances are it will not be in focus still. If it is, you're done. But it probably won't be. And this is the second way that you personalize the scope for your body. Not only does interpupillary distance differ among humans or between humans, it's also true that in a lot of cases the right eye does not focus the same way as the left eye on the same person. And that's why if you open your left eye and it's no longer in focus like the left or like the right one was that you just focused it for, then keep your hands off the focus knobs, but twist the barrel of the left ocular, which has its own focus, until it's in focus for your left eye. Then it should be in focus for both. And when you open up both eyes, assuming you've properly set the interpupillary distance, you should see one circle, one field of view, and the specimen should be in as good a focus as you can get it for your eyes. Now that will be a zoomed out view. You won't see much detail, but you'll see maybe a lot of things that you want to focus in on. You use, while you're looking through that, you use the mechanical stage to move the slide around, find an interesting place. But importantly, if you find something interesting, use the mechanical stage until that interesting thing, whatever it is right in the center of the field of view. Because when you then switch to a higher magnification objective, you're looking at it with a smaller circle. Only if it's in the center will it still be in that smaller circle. If you had it off to the edge and you go up in magnification, it will no longer be in the field of view. You see what I'm saying there? Okay, it'll look bigger to you because the diameter of the field of view is smaller, the magnification is bigger. This brings up another definition. This model of scope is an example of one that is called a parfocal scope. In a parfocal scope, it's designed so that when you change objective lenses to adjust magnification, the next higher magnifying lens should already be roughly in focus if you've already focused the first one. And that means you should only ever use the coarse focus on the scanning lens, which should always be the first one you focus with. When you then go up in magnification, if it's not already still in focus, just tweak it slightly with the fine focus. Don't use the coarse focus again. And as you'll see, it gets harder and harder to focus as you go to greater and greater magnification. All right, that's how to correctly use it, and we'll see whether you actually do correctly use it. This idea of different objective lenses having different depths of focus is why you're looking at one of the slides you're required to look at today. Let me talk about these slides. There's two categories of slides. One is prepared slides, which are the ones in the trays. A prepared slide is prepared for you. You do not make it. You simply look at it, but you don't throw it away. So the prepared slides are purchased. They need to be put back into the trays when you're done. Just make sure you put them in the right tray. There's three trays because there's three different categories that you're looking at. If no one else has mixed them up, then it doesn't matter which slide you get from a tray. You need to get one from each tray, though. And the trays are labeled colored threads, letter E, and flea. Those are the three prepared slides that you're looking at. Okay, the colored threads here, and it doesn't matter which order you do them in, but the colored threads is prepared in such a way you have three different colored threads. I think it's yellow, red, and green, but it doesn't matter. Three different colors. But they're embedded in the slide at different levels. One of them is on top, one's in the middle, and one's on the bottom. And that's to demonstrate what I was talking about as far as depth of focus is concerned. The depth of focus of the scanning lens is so wide, so deep, that you, when you focus it, it will look like all three colored threads are in focus, because they're all within that allowable range for your eyes. But when you go to the high magnification, that depth of focus is so shallow that you can only focus on one color at a time, and you'll have to use the fine focus knob to switch from focus on the red to focus on the green or yellow. That's why you're doing that slide. The letter E doesn't seem very exciting, and you can even with the naked eye hold this up and tell that that's just a typed letter E that's on the slide. You'll see when you get it. But the reason this is here is to illustrate the important fact that the image that you see in a light microscope is inverted vertically and horizontally. It's flipped left to right, and it's also upside down. All right. So if you look at the slide, which you can tell with your naked eye is the correct way as far as reading it, and you put that in there in the direction you would read it, when you look at it, it'll be upside down and backwards. Not only that, but when you use your mechanical stage to move things, the image, while you're looking through it, will look like it's moving to the right, but when you then look at the stage, it's actually moving left to make it look like it's moving right to your eyes. Okay, so it's reversed vertically and horizontally. That's why you're doing that. The flea is just interesting to look at. When you look at a flea with your naked eyes, you see that it's a flea, but you don't see much detail. It's pretty cool to look at them. All right, those are prepared slides. Make sure they're put back properly. And by the way, when you finish up for today, make sure there's no slide at all on your scope before you put it back. The other one, though, is called a wet mount, the other category. And that is a slide that you prepare. You make it. Well, to do that, you need a blank slide, which are really just slabs of glass sitting over here. So be careful with these, because they're glass, of course. But they're pretty easy to be careful with. You have a much more dangerous piece of glass, though, right by them, which are called cover slips. And these will cut the hell out of you easily. So really be careful with these. Not only while you're using them, but really be careful about not allowing them to get out of the box. Because if people come up here, like the people that clean up after you, and wipe the table, they can easily, with a napkin, put this thing right through their hand. So pay attention to where these are. Don't let them get spread out. Anyway, this is a cover slip. A wet mount is simply a drop of something, a drop of pond water, in this case, is what we have out for you. And you put that onto the slide, and you put the cover slip on it, and then you look at it. But you can do this the wrong way. The proper way, let my hand represent the blank slide. You put the droplet onto the blank slide, roughly in the middle. And then you take the cover slip, which is this hand, and you don't just plop it on flat. You put it on next to the droplet on its edge, and then you just let it fall onto the droplet. And then that air will be pushed out. If you just plop it on flat, you're going to trap a bunch of air bubbles in there and call me over and say, "What is this?" Well, it's an air bubble. There, you see a lot of them. You think they're cells, maybe. They're just air bubbles. So you want to minimize those by just doing it that way. All right. Other than that, it's just a matter of looking at stuff. Now, everyone's going to have totally different stuff for the pond water, and you might see nothing at all. You might see a bunch of stuff. If you want to have an idea of what you're looking at, chances are it's one of the things that are on these, what do you call these things? Posters. Take a look at those if you want. All right, go ahead and get started.